our Lord's Passion with this Tenebrae service. The word Tenebrae literally means darkness. So as the candles are extinguished and the lights get dimmed throughout the evening, we are reminded of the darkness, the evil, the sin that came against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. However, the mood is somber this evening, but this service is not to be thought of as a funeral service for Jesus. Good Friday is a day of repentance. It is a day of our repentance over our sin and restrained joy at the same time and praise for the redemption that Christ accomplished for us in his suffering and death on the cross. The passion of our Lord Jesus, the suffering of Jesus, is no accident. It's not as if Jesus slipped up and said something that he shouldn't have said or did something that he shouldn't have done, and now the authorities are coming after him. Nor was this a tragedy. It's not as if Jesus was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus himself says in John 10:18, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again." So tonight we hear of God's intentional love for sinners, his grace and mercy for a world undeserving of his grace and mercy and love. Tonight we behold the man on the cross. This is why he came, for this is his purpose. This is why the Father sent him. This is why God is man. The eternal person, the second person of the Holy Trinity, has taken upon human flesh to suffer, to bleed, to gasp, to die. God became our flesh and blood brother in the person of Jesus Christ, not simply to teach us how to live, how to be good, or the right way to live. He didn't come to show you a perfect example or to impart wisdom. He did those things, certainly. But ultimately, God became man so that he could stand in your place, take all of the Father's wrath and punishment for our sin and evil, and die as the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He took on human life in order to lay it down. To lay down his life in exchange for yours. So tonight, we are humbly reminded of the great cost that was paid for our sins. In the passion of our Lord Jesus, we see the gravity and the weight of our sin, but also the great love that God has for us, what he is willing to endure to forgive us those sins. Tonight, we hear of the Son of God who bore all of the sins, all of our sins in his body as he stood in our place as our substitute. We hear how he was betrayed, arrested, mocked, denied, tried, beaten, whipped, scourged, spat upon, and crucified, pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. This, dear people loved by God, was the price required to satisfy God's just wrath and punishment for our sin. Yet this was the price that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, willingly and lovingly paid for you, to redeem you, to forgive you, and to open the gates of heaven for you. The Son of God in the flesh, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. "It is finished," we will hear him say from the cross. Christ's once and for all sacrifice has freed us from the bonds of sin, death, and the devil. He has won for us forgiveness, life, and salvation, and he has reconciled us back to our Father in heaven. Tonight, we hear of Christ's passion, which is his suffering. As we read through the gospel according to St. John, the 18th and 19th chapters, and in that respect, I suppose you could say there's no sermon per se tonight. If you accept it, tonight's sermon is this introduction of our readings. But the entire service itself, the whole Tenebrae service, is intended to preach to you, to paint a vivid picture before your eyes, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ crucified for sinners. As I mentioned earlier, as the lights dim and they extinguish the candles, this preaches to you. It preaches sin and darkness and evil that will be coming against our Lord Jesus. And as we hear all that he suffered to redeem us, lost and condemned people. And it should remind us then of our own need for repentance. And then as the candle, the Christ candle on the altar, the tall candle there, eventually as that is extinguished, that preaches the reality that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died. The Son of God was crucified and died. God died for you. And the Christ candle then will be carried into the sacristy on the side here, and that preaches how Christ was carried and buried then into the tomb. The strepitus, or the loud noise that will happen, reminds us, and it preaches to us, that the earth shook at Jesus' death. It preaches how the centurion confessed, truly this was the Son of God. And it foreshadows the earthquake that will occur when the stone is removed and rolled away on Easter morning. And finally, at the end of the Tenebrae service tonight, the Christ candle will come back lit. It will come back to the center of the altar, and it is relit and placed on its place in the altar. And that is to remind you, dear saints, that all is not lost. Christ will rise again. And it will be soon. And this is why we then will exit the sanctuary in silence, recognizing the seriousness, the gravity of the events of Good Friday. God died for you, yet we do so with confident hope, certain joy, and eager expectation for the resurrection on Easter morning. Hear now the passion of our Lord according to St. John. Our first reading from John chapter 18, the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place. For Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" O Lord, have mercy on us. Second reading from John chapter 18. Jesus before the high priest and the denial of Peter. So the band of soldiers and their captain, the officers of the Jews, arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our third reading from John chapter 18, Jesus before Pilate. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" And they cried out, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our fourth reading, John chapter 19, Jesus prepared for crucifixion. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend, for everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our fifth reading from John chapter 19, the crucifixion of Jesus. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our sixth reading from John chapter 19, Jesus' mother and his death. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our seventh reading from John chapter 19, Jesus' side is pierced. since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the Jews came and broke the legs of the first, or the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that what he is telling is the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. O Lord, have mercy on us. The reading from Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance, so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before them like a young plant, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.